This is On and Off Your Mat Podcast, episode 222, Chronic Fatigue and Creating the Conditions for Healing. If you're constantly tired, waking up in the morning, reminding yourself that you just got to get through the day, or you need a cup of coffee or, you know, maybe three to be able to focus and get everything you need done, today's episode is for you. For today's episode, I sat down with Tiffany Cowan. Tiffany is a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, a board certified holistic health practitioner, and a yoga teacher. She's also an experienced executive leader and transformational coach with a passion for helping others thrive by guiding them to shift their mindset, take actions towards their goal, and embrace self-care. An explorer at heart with a never-ending curiosity for learning new things, she is constantly expanding her education and has received additional training in nutrigenomics, DNA testing, hair tissue mineral analysis, bioenergetics, hypnotherapy, she's also board certified in that, quantum biology, and biophysics. Woohoo! We sat down to talk about chronic fatigue and how it stops your body's capacity to heal itself. The mindset and what you do day to day that keep you stuck in survival, and what you can do instead to create the conditions for sustained energy, healing, and thriving in your life. If this episode inspires you in any way, share it and help someone else on their journey towards vibrant health. I always really love to read your takeaways on the episode. So take a screenshot, share something you've learned, something that inspired you on Instagram, and make sure to tag at On and Off Your Mat Podcast or Erica.Belanger. And I'll be able to see them and I'll be happy to reshare you. All right. If you're ready to jump into today's episode with Tiffany, let's go. It's going to be a good one. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so well. Thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm great. I'll be even better when I'm in Costa Rica soon where you are.
Yes.
But I'm good.
Well, now you have the pleasure by anticipation.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know good things are coming. Before we dive into our subject of today, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey for listeners that don't know you yet?
Yeah. So I'm a holistic health coach, and this wasn't always my path. As many people who end up in this wellness space, you know, it's been a journey of my own healing that brought me to here. I was diagnosed with a few different diagnoses actually over the years, but it started with Crohn's. So when I was 17, I was diagnosed with Crohn's, and, you know, it just sort of set a course and a path of my life of seeking wellness, seeking healing, seeking, you know, a way to live with it and start to explore like ways that I could manage it. Because at the time, you know, this was, I will date myself here, but at the time that I was diagnosed, it was the 90s and we didn't have internet and you couldn't Google things and people weren't, you know, able to find and share information the way they are now. And I don't think there was as much talk about any sort of natural therapies or healing. So at the time, you know, was just always trying to seek some sort of way to at least manage, you know, I was on a lot of medications and, you know, just was going through life that way, trying to get from flare up to flare up and discover things. Over the years, though, it did bring me to yoga. So this is where yoga comes into my life, which was to try to manage, you know, some of the pain. I was having a lot of joint swelling and stuff like that. That path actually led me to really dedicate a whole lot of my life to yoga. I ended up studying teacher training and I opened a couple yoga studios in upstate New York that I had for almost a decade. That was an incredible time. And also through that time, I was still continuously trying to find, you know, healing opportunities and ways to, you know, just keep bringing my body into balance. Yoga was a big part of that, but of course, so was lifestyle and food. And yeah, so along that journey, which was long and, you know, not straightforward, but ultimately I ended up finding kind of all the pieces, you know, that journey really, it was like, I was on this road and I was like, I would find another layer, I'd find another piece. It's almost like, yeah, like, you know, you're carrying maybe if you think of it like a backpack and you're like, oh, I'm going to pick up this thing and this is a tool and I'm going to pick up this thing and it's a tool. And eventually I figured out the right blend for myself. And ultimately through like a functional medicine approach, and then of course, using all of my knowledge from the years of Eastern philosophy and natural medicine and Ayurveda and yoga and all these things, I eventually found balance and harmony in my body. And
yay.
And I healed. And once I got to the other side of all that and had this just like vibrant health and, you know, was living like a way that I never thought that I could, you know, just like empowered and free and in control and knowing how to keep my body balanced, I decided I needed to help others as well on that journey. Because like I said, it wasn't straightforward for me, you know, and I know that it's not for anybody who's trying to heal. And so I decided to dedicate my life and path now to this work and trying to help other people find, collect all those pieces, all those different healing modalities, find that balance. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell, like what brought me to this point, this moment, and why we're having this conversation.
Yeah. I love it. And I can relate very well, not from the perspective of Crohn's disease, but from doing all of these things and trying to find all the puzzle pieces for your own health and, you know, healing. I suffer from endometriosis and it was debilitating 10 years ago. Couldn't walk more than a few minutes at the time. And today I'm, you know, teaching yoga for a living and coaching and doing all these things and living a life that is pain-free, which for a moment there, I didn't think that would be possible for me. And there was no hope left, you know? So I hope people can hear that no matter where you are today, there is hope and there's a way. Even if sometimes Western medicine tells you that there's not really a way and there's not really a solution. Like for me, it was very clear from the get-go, they would give me opiates and that was it. That was the only solution they were able to come up with. So, you know, there's always another way if that's not the right way for you, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes. I love what you said. And I actually got goosebumps when you said it, because that to me is the best thing that we can do for others in sharing our stories, is like to give people hope. Because similar to you, there were so many times that just based on what doctors were telling me, based on what other people were telling me, based on what I was reading, it was like everything just looked hopeless. And it was, the message was, you know, this is just the hand you've been dealt. There's no reason, there's nothing you can do. It just is what it is. And, you know, we're going to help you manage with medication and that's what you're facing. And fortunately for me, it was this like deep inner drive, this inner knowing, this intuition that just said like, no, I don't accept that.
Same.
Yeah. And you just keep searching. And so I love that, because it's like, I just want people to feel that there's hope. I want them to feel empowered and, you know, that it's maybe not overnight. It doesn't sound like it was for you. And it certainly wasn't for me. But if you keep going, you know, your body wants to heal and you have to just be patient and consistent. And yeah, you find your path. So
yeah. And today we're not sitting down to talk particularly about autoimmune or these chronic illness, but kind of a side effect of it and for other reasons as well. So we'll get into that. But we're talking about feeling drained energetically, chronic fatigue. And that was my case, definitely, from pain and chronic illness. You just can't never find your energy because you're in pain constantly. Was that your experience as well through Crohn's disease?
Yes. And this is why this has become so passionate for me, is that, to be honest, I didn't even realize how fatigued I was until I got to the other side.
Yeah, that's so common. You don't even know your baseline. You've been feeling this way for so long. You don't even remember what else is possible.
Yeah, I literally was like, once I healed, you know, and my focus was healing the Crohn's. And at that point, I had Hashimoto's and rosacea and rheumatoid arthritis and every label they could give me. And I was just trying to heal those symptoms. What happened, though, is that my energy restored and my fatigue went away. It's like this fog lifted and this brain fog and my mood. I didn't even realize how much anxiety and like depression I had and fatigue until it was gone. And then I was like, oh, whoa, I feel better in my, you know, late 30s and early 40s than I ever did. Yeah. Even earlier in life, because I was just low level fatigued all the time. And we think that's normal. You know, it's like, I realized then, looking at, you know, people around me, and then there was a period of time after selling the yoga studio that I was in corporate America. And this is what I saw, is like, everybody's tired. They're so fatigued. We're so drained. And we're all talking about it in a way of like making it normal.
Almost glorifying too sometimes, because like, it shows that you're working hard, you're hustling, like you're part of this high achieving culture. Like if you're not tired or even trying, there's kind of this, you know, mindset and mentality sometimes.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm tired. Wait, are you more tired? Who's more tired? Who's working harder?
I've only slept 4 hours. You know, kind of conversations where you're like almost one-upping each other into who's having a worse time.
I know. And it's just become like so common that we believe that it's normal and we think that we're supposed to be tired. And, you know, people say that, well, you know, just life, it's life and it's my age.
It's kids and work.
Yeah, it's kids and work and stuff. And this is just like, oh yes, you know, here we are. We're both in the mud puddle together. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, I don't think that people should necessarily have to sacrifice doing the things that they want to do. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to give up success and goals that you have and ways that you want to live, but it's like unlocking that potential in your body so that you have the energy to heal.
Choice.
Yes, it's choice, right? It's empowerment. It's like you should be able to choose to do the things you want to do, but you have to learn how to fuel your body, to give it the right inputs, to create the conditions for healing and energy repair so that you do have the abundant energy to do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and really all my clients, regardless, this is why I focus on the fatigue, because I'll tell you, regardless of what label anybody's been given about a condition or a symptom or a disease, anything, fatigue and basically energy loss is at the root of all of those.
The body can't heal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this kind of has become the base of what I focus on, because if there's any symptoms, if anything's going wrong, there's definitely an energy loss. There's definitely some energy leakage and we have to repair that energy pathway.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. But since people are so accustomed to how they're feeling, and like both of us notice that we notice the true difference once we are on the other side, what are the clues that we can look for in the present moment to know, am I just like regularly fatigued? Like I just need a good night's sleep and I'll be fine. Or am I like really drained energetically? Am I having issues with chronic fatigue? What does that actually look like?
Yeah, you've hit one of the points, which is that if a good night's sleep can make you feel better, then that's likely you're just tired and you just need extra sleep. Where it starts to get into what we call fatigue is if no matter how much you sleep, it doesn't matter if you get that good night's sleep. It doesn't matter if you sleep 8 hours or 10 hours, you just wake up and you still feel sort of that heaviness, that drain. Brain fog, I would say, really goes hand in hand. People who have reached a level of fatigue just don't feel like they think clearly. Mm-hmm. There's not a sharpness. There's like this brightness that comes when your energy is working the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, things are more dull.
Yes, right. Exactly. If you wake up and you feel sort of like, this is what I say to people, if there's kind of that heavy feeling, that dull feeling, you're just kind of like, oof. And I would say mood actually goes with this. And sometimes I think we've become so accustomed to separating everything out, right? It's like every part of the body, or your mood is one thing, and then your fatigue is another thing, and your joints are another thing, but it's like all related. So, you know, I would say that also if you wake up in the morning, this was huge for me. It's like, it was like the thought of facing the day immediately overwhelmed me. And it didn't matter. Honestly, it's not that the things that I was doing were things I didn't like to do. I loved, you know, the yoga studio. This was happening during my years of this incredible business and this beautiful life I was living. And I still didn't have the capacity emotionally, energetically
to enjoy it.
Yeah. I would wake up and I'd be like, okay, I have to get through the day. I just have to. So if you're at that point where everything feels like you just have to get from one thing to the next.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah. And then the last major one is that if you're using different, I'll say, tools, because I'll just call them tools, to get through the day, to band-aid, like you need coffee immediately. You really can't function without. Now, I love coffee. Trust me, I love my cup of coffee, but you shouldn't need it to get started. You know, if you have to drink it throughout the day, if you're reaching for other forms of caffeine, sugar, food sources, particularly if you have kind of that crash, you know, in the middle of the day, and then you're having to do more things to keep going. Those are the sort of symptoms that like, okay, something larger is going on. And now we're in like chronic fatigue because none of that's working. And you're just having to do more and more and more and keep going versus just sort of having clean, sustained energy during the day, where you don't have those dips, you know? So yeah, high level, I would say those are the biggest signs.
So then what does clean, sustained energy look like and feel like in contrast to that?
Yeah. And so, you know, in contrast, it's like when you wake up, we'll start there. You're ready. You feel clear. You're thinking clearly. You can make choices about your morning versus like stumbling to that coffee maker. You're like, okay, maybe, you know, the choice is to go for a walk or exercise or, you know, whatever different routines, but eat or read or meditate. So you're just, you're ready. Your body feels there's no pain. There's no heaviness. You're just like ready to go. And then if your attention and energy levels can stay consistent throughout the day, that's a sign that you're doing well.
I don't know a lot of people that can say that.
I know. Again, I didn't either. I just actually really believed that it was normal to have that afternoon dip. And when I got to the other side of it, and it was like, I'll tell you honestly, it took me a little while to realize it. And it was probably like, you know, it was maybe a month into it or something. And it was like one day I was like, wait a minute, it's like 6 o'clock at night. And I was fine. I was good. I had energy to do everything I needed to do throughout the day. And then I started thinking and I was like, wait, that is every day. I actually just have energy. You know, I'm just consistent with, you know, my energy levels during the day. My thoughts are clear. And then it's like my choice then when I'm ready to shut off, then that's a choice versus like, it's just stopped. You know, like I have control over when I shut down versus my body and brain does it for me at non-optimal times. Like that's the big difference.
Yeah. And then you actually go to bed and you can't sleep. Like you've crashed in the afternoon, right? Like there's all these like weird patterns.
Totally. The wired but tired thing where it's like you're tired, but you're still wired and you're just like, well, now I can't sleep. And that's definitely another sign that you're in sympathetic overdrive because your body's trying to compensate and it's haywire.
Yeah. So we've talked about chronic illness being like one possible source for that depletion. But let's say listeners don't suffer from any chronic illness. What are the other most common source for chronic fatigue?
So high level, what I would say is that when you have chronic fatigue, of course, hormones are not functioning properly. I think that's something we're starting to hear more of and we are understanding is that there is a particular cycle and rhythm to hormone production that like ideally, if it's following the right pattern throughout the day, like you have, you know, it's the peak, it peaks in the morning, it sustains all day, and then it sort of gradually declines, right? And so if you're getting into these patterns and you're feeling this fatigue, then you know that something in your hormonal system is off balance for sure. Mm-hmm. But in terms of sources, I wouldn't even say actually, sometimes people focus on that as the source. And I wouldn't say that that's the source. I think that that is an outcome of actually, we have to go further back. So ultimately,
there's like layers, like it's a symptom.
Mm-hmm. It totally is. So the actual source of any kind of fatigue is in your energy production system, which is, I don't want to nerd out too much because I can go so nerdy down this rabbit hole. But we've all heard about mitochondria, right? I mean, even in like, you know, school, we heard about mitochondria as like the energy powerhouses. They do so much more than that. So much more than that. They're actually responsible for like almost every function in our body. The mitochondria are giving the signal for that. So if you have an energy problem though, and if you're noticing fatigue, your mitochondria are not functioning. So there's some sort of mitochondrial deficiency, and that is actually the source. And that can happen for a lot of reasons. Our modern lifestyles really contribute to the mitochondria being like confused and worn out. They just don't understand the signals we're giving them. They're like, wait, what? You know, like I'll just give you one example, like with technology and blue lights and TV and the way that we're kind of always on these devices, we're simulating light signals that make your mitochondria think that it's different times of the day. So at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
When you're scrolling your phone.
Yeah, it's like noon. You know, we are just mammals. Like we are evolved, but it's like our bodies function, you know, biologically like
with nature. Yeah. So if you have fake sun.
Right. It's just like, all right, it's noon. So it's going to pump cortisol and it's going to keep you going because you're telling it it's the middle of your day. So this is actually the source, is that we are just confusing and wearing out this energy chain, this energy transport chain with the mitochondria. And like I said, for various different reasons, but ultimately it comes down to like our lifestyle is really the source. So if I had to really simplify it and boil it down as simple as I can get it, it's the cues and the signals to our mitochondria confusing the whole system.
Coming from our lifestyle.
Yes, yes, yes. And the foods, you know, everything. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's also part of our lifestyle, right? What we eat and how we fuel ourselves.
Yes.
If we look at our lifestyle, what's the low-hanging fruit? What's the thing we can start with to start to affect that energy loss, to stop the energy leak and start to rebuild a more sustainable kind of energy base?
Yes. I love this question because it's simple. Now, I will say that it's not necessarily easy to do, but it's very simple. The low-hanging fruit is to protect your morning and evening. Mm. So this is what I tell people, and I'll explain more. But if you can think of it as like these bookends, right? So if the most critical times of the day are how you're starting your morning and how you're ending your evening, you can get away with a lot more in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. You can have a lot more flexibility. Your body's going to be able to handle it more. Ideally, you know, you do more, but I'm just saying like low-hanging fruit. So starting morning with no technology. This is a must. You absolutely cannot look at your phone. This is what I'm saying. It's simple, but I know it's not easy for people. But if you can develop that habit and you allow yourself the first part of the day, let's say an hour, and I'll give you a little hack. I'll circle to that because I do recognize some people are just like not going to listen to me anyways. But if you can protect that hour and ideally the first light that you're allowing your eyes to see as sunrise, you will significantly heal.
Not just sunlight, but sunrise.
Sunrise specifically.
So you are starting to get into rhythm of the season you're in.
Yeah, because that gives really specific particular cues to your body.
Yeah.
And it starts the chain, the circadian clock. It starts the energy production. So your body understands now how to set up the hormones for the day. So it's like that part of the day sets the tone for everything that happens after, including digestion, including, you know, like what we were talking about, this sustained energy. So getting that sunrise in your eyes, like letting your eyes see the sunrise, and ideally getting some of that early morning sunlight because it just has wavelengths that are so healing. It's this red light, the infrared light before you get into the full spectrum. The morning sunlight is the most nourishing for your body. Mm. So that is really important. If you can do that, you're going to do so much for your body, like mind-blowing. I mean, my clients, I say to them, just please commit to this for even just 1 week. And then let's like revisit. And I'll tell you, never fails. After 1 week, they're like, I'm never going back. And I'm like, I know, I told you.
Wow.
They feel that much different. It's that significant. So morning is important. And then evening, protecting your light environment at night. And so like right now, it's evening where I am. And so I'm on devices. I've got lights on, but I've got my blue blockers on. And then my glasses, actually, I have like a lens that I'll pop a red filter on. So I make it even more dim at night. But if you can protect your light environment in the morning and at night, those two things alone, if you did nothing else, those would significantly change your energy system, your health, your sleep, your repair. Like it's huge. It's huge. But I'll tell you the hack.
Yes.
Okay. So there is a shortcut. And anybody can Google it, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, you just Google like how to do the shortcut. I could send you a link and you could put it for listeners. But basically, you can program your phone so that if you hit the side buttons like 3 times, you do 3 clicks, it'll turn the screen completely red. It eliminates the blue light. And so one, you're at least taking that cue out, you know, and you're not like giving that signal to your eyes that it's the middle of the day. But it also does make it less interesting to look at your device. So that's the other bonus.
It's just annoying enough that you don't want to.
Exactly. So like you can get things done if you have to, but you're kind of like, I don't really want to scroll because there's no colors and I'm not interested. So if you have to answer email, if you have to have that alarm clock in the morning, so then it's not going to disrupt the circadian rhythm with the blue light. But you still could function if you have to. So what I do is that once I hit sunset in the evening, I turn it red or shortly after, you know, sometime in that time frame, I turn my phone red. I leave it red for the evening and then I leave it red until morning. And then I don't turn it back to the regular screen until after we've gotten past that early morning light. So I see sunrise, I go maybe like an hour past. So I get through the red light, the infrared light. And then once we're into like full spectrum day, then I turn it back on. So because people are like, no, I have to, the alarm clock and reasons they have to be on their phone. I'm like, fine, but turn it red.
I love that because you can't really argue anymore.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? You kind of get stuck back against the wall. You're like, oh, all right, then I guess I'll do it.
I know. So no excuses. And everything I just said is free. So there you go. It doesn't cost you anything to make those changes.
Yeah. In the beginning, when you were talking about your own journey, you talked about how there was lifestyle. This is an example of lifestyle tools that we can use, but there was also yoga and food that made a big difference for you. Any suggestion in those areas if we want to start to build our energy more consistently?
Yeah. I mean, some of it's going to be obvious. You know, it's like eat whole foods.
Sometimes we just need to hear it again, or in other words.
Totally. And I do like to keep it simple because I'll tell you, it's overwhelming, all of the different diet dogma out there, and everybody's got an opinion and everybody's yelling at each other about it. And this diet is the best.
And there's so much contradiction. Yep.
And it just gets confusing. And it's like, well, which diet is the diet that's going to help? And so I say to people like, of course, it's not that simple. And this is why it helps to work with somebody one-on-one. If you're finding you feel like you're really eating well, but it's just something's not right, then this is why there's people to help. But I would say overall, to keep it simple, just eat real food. The more that we can just eat real food, whole food that like is fully recognizable as itself, you know, it's like, it's not some long name. There's not 12 ingredients. Yeah. Everything's simple. The less you can do out of a package, the better. I mean, I know that that's like not always realistic, but if you can minimize that, and if you can make the majority of your food just like whole foods and keep it simple, I would say that that's part of it, as much as possible, paying attention seasonally and trying to just like eat with the rhythms. I mean, everything, as you can tell, comes down to me of like connection to rhythms. And this is what yoga comes in too, right? It's like the more we can just sort of tune back into the rhythms of like nature, this planet that we're on, how our body like wants to move in connection with those rhythms, we create harmony, right? And so it's like if you're eating a banana in upstate New York in the dead of winter, I didn't realize that. And it's like your body doesn't really understand that. And so, you know, it's like go to your local farmer's market, see what's in season. And I'll say, you know, the other thing about that is it keeps it interesting. And then you don't feel so, because we've all gotten there, right? Where it's like, okay, I have this exact smoothie every day, and I have this exact thing for lunch every day, and I have this exact thing for dinner. And I eat the same 12 foods over and over again all year round. And it's like, give your body some variety, shop at a farmer's market or get a box delivered or something. And then, you know, eat whatever's like seasonal and local if you can, you know, if that's possible where you live. So I would say like fundamentally, that's the most simplistic way to start changing how you're eating. And then I think the big things, you can go really far with trying to detoxify everything in your world, which is helpful, but I think people drive themselves crazy with it. Right. And then we just have fear around everything. And we live in a world that's like kind of hard to stay away from all toxins. Right. But the big ones are like drink clean water and try to clean up your air that you're breathing in your house all the time. Like if you can filter your water and filter your air, eat some whole foods, sync with nature a little more. Those are massive, massive, massive to start to like heal and balance your body.
Yeah. And if farmers market are not available or those box subscription, like sometimes frozen fruits and vegetables are a very affordable option of, you know, it's picked and it's directly frozen. It doesn't, you know, stay green in the truck until it gets to your supermarket and then sprayed with something. So it turns yellow all of a sudden. I'm thinking of bananas right now. Like when I learned that, I was like, I'm sorry, what? You spray them with what? And they turn yellow? Oh, okay. So frozen can be like also an affordable option.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and especially then if you can do organic, absolutely. You know, just as much as you can, like reduce some of those stressors. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but the more that you can kind of pick the big impact things and make those changes, like you will notice a difference. And it's like, what I always tell people is like, just start with something.
Pick one, run with it for a little bit.
Right. You don't have to do all the things. Like that's overwhelming and that's not sustainable. So pick whatever you think you can do, stick with it. These tiny little changes over time have a compounding effect. You know, it's often the things that feel like they're not the biggest deal.
Like it's not really worth it.
Yeah. They're like the easiest to do, but then the easiest not to do because they don't feel that significant. But if you do them day after day after day after day, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, the compounding effect is huge and you've completely shifted something in your body.
Yeah. That brings me to a thought because oftentimes we kind of psych ourselves out, you know, and making these changes and we have like these stories around either it's going to work, it's not going to work, it's worth it, it's not worth it. What's the role of mindset when it comes to addressing chronic fatigue, energy leakage, energy shortage? Is there like one particular thing that participates in our energy depletion?
Mindset is everything. 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 So I have an acronym that I teach. Even people may not see this, but I'm doing this swirl because it came to me as an image of like an infinity symbol when, you know, I really understood the components, but it's like all the components to heal, but it's not a linear path, right? It's not like one step, the next step, the next step. It's consistent. It's almost like this alchemy. It's just circling all the time.
Yeah.
But the word is amend. And that came to me because I was like, people are not broken. If there's something broken you need to fix, we just have to kind of amend things. You know, it's a little more like, you know, we're just making like changes towards more harmony. But what it stands for is action, mindset, energy, nourishment, and detox. And all of those components together, when they are consistent, like I said, it's more like an infinity symbol. Those are the components always the like sort of recipe for health. But I would say like, if you take mindset out of that, you're going to have a hard time like healing or staying well. And that is the biggest piece I'll tell you that I see missing when people embark on any sort of like path to try to heal anything or feel better is that maybe let's say they do some diet, like they're like, okay, I'm going all in, I'm doing keto. I'm just using that as an example. And you feel better for a period of time, right? But then it's like you come back to square one, or I could say a lot of other examples like that. Ultimately, if the mindset's not there,
you just don't have the reasons to keep up with the actions and the choices. Like there's like no fuel and motivation because that comes from your mindset.
Absolutely. And I would say also your body believes what you tell it.
Mm.
It absolutely does. And so if you say to it like, this is bad or this is good, you know, like people identify with their symptoms and their diseases, right? It's like, I am this.
I'm sick and I will always be like that. I've always been fatigued. It's not going to change.
Yes. And so this is, I would say, like the biggest piece to me is that you create change. The possibility's there. I'm studying this a lot right now, the alchemy of creation and like, you know, how all of this stuff actually works. And listen, I don't care how you believe it. If you can get full into the woo and you don't need any science, amazing. But there's enough science behind this now too, that they understand what's happening, you know, from the chemical standpoint, from your brainwaves. And it's like, literally, when you can get into the subconscious, if you can create the beliefs, your cells respond to that. And this is why the placebo effect works. You know, people talk about this all the time. We accept that. It's like, we understand this about placebo, right? And it's like, you understand that that also happens with all these other components of healing. It's like, if you believe you're going to fail, if you believe your body is always going to be sick, if you believe that you just like can't sleep, that was one for me. I just had a story that I was like an insomniac. I was like, well, I just don't sleep. I've never slept. Sleep's just not a thing that I do.
Like what?
Yeah.
Like, are you not human?
Right. And so it's like when I finally, you know, realized that I was creating the conditions through my thoughts, I told my body it doesn't sleep.
Yeah. So why would it sleep?
So it didn't. Right. One of the things that was helpful for me was creating like a visual board of just like what that was going to look like the day that I woke up and everything was better, you know, and it was like at a time when I couldn't walk well because my joints were so swollen. So it was things like me running on a trail, you know, hiking in the mountains, working from home, you know, that there was these images, you know, it was like this is the life that I want. This is the visual representation. What I learned from Joe Dispenza, you know, doing a lot of his meditations, was that you have to couple that with how it's going to feel. So that's where it goes beyond. We were talking about how the mind, you know, these like just affirmations that you're just saying words that you don't believe, that's different than if you embody how that's going to feel, you know. And that was the key for me as starting to shift this stuff, was like, okay, I wake up one morning and I have all this energy and my joints don't hurt, my gut doesn't hurt, and my skin is clear. And like, what does that feel like? And the more I sat with what that felt like and then used that as the fuel every day, because then it's the feeling. You have to couple the feeling with the thoughts. And it's like, then it's like, that's what's within, and then that's what's going to create without. Yeah. I think we could talk about this forever, but that's key. It's like more than the words. Because when the feeling comes with it, then that's when your body believes it and it understands what you're moving towards.
I totally agree. I think that is what we need to be able to have the fuel behind the thoughts and starting to believe what we're saying and what we are envisioning. Like, you need that emotional connection. And I love the work of Joe Dispenza as well. So if you guys want to go check that out, it could be super helpful.
Yeah.
So we'll start to wrap it up. Anything else you want to add before we finish? If there's one takeaway you'd like listeners to leave with today, what would it be?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway is just kind of coming full circle to what we said at the beginning, which is that have hope. I want people to know that their body has the capacity to heal. That is the biggest message. Like, if there's only one message I could tell people, it's like, your body has the capacity to heal. It absolutely knows how to do it. It was designed to do it. You just have to give it the conditions, you know, and everybody has access to feeling better. I want that for people. I want people to have the life, you know, it's going to raise the vibration and the frequency for all of us. When everybody's feeling better, it's like, you know, I want that for people, but it's a little bit selfish too, right? It's like, if more people feel better, you know, it raises the frequency and the vibration for all of us. And it just creates like more harmony for everyone. So I'm on a mission. I want people to know they can feel better.
Yeah. I think that's a good mission. I will put all your info in the show notes, but in the meantime, where's the best place for people to find you if they have more questions, they want to nerd out a little further,
they
want to work with you in some capacity? Where do they go? What is available to them?
The best place is to just go to my website, which is my name, tiffanycagwin.com. From there, you can easily book a discovery call with me. Those are complimentary. I spend a lot of time with people. I love to hear people's stories. You know, if you're not even sure, you know, where to start, book a call with me, because, you know, I'll be honest, I'm always seeking to find compatibility. You know, I think that if you're going to work with a practitioner, there has to be alignment. And if I feel like I'm not the right person, I'm also like a wealth of resources, and I will direct people in another direction if I think that I can't help them. So, you know, I would say book a discovery call with me. I'm in the process of creating some other options as well. So there'll be more coming. So people could sign up on my newsletter list. You know, all that can happen through the website. So that's probably just the easiest place to go. All my socials are on there and you can connect with me through there. But yeah, that's where I would start.
Lovely. That is super helpful. I think today's conversation is going to be helpful for people. So I can't wait to hear you guys and what you think about this. Tiffany, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate our conversation together.
Thank you. Thanks, Erica. It was really nice to be on. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you haven't already done so, leave your review for this podcast or this episode on iTunes and help other sensitive souls and yogis find it and improve their health and their life. You'll find the show notes for this episode at ericabelanger.com/222. Before you go, I just want to say a last thank you to the growing team behind this podcast, including all our premium members. I could not keep this up without you. Once again, thank you for listening. I'll see you next Monday.